Grace, and I want to welcome Rabbi Leibowitz. Rabbi Leibowitz, should I make you a co-host or
It's
you're
not
good?
necessary. I don't have. I didn't come that well
Okay.
prepared. I apologize. I don't have my
Okay.
co-host or anything. So,
Okay,
just
great. Then we'll just
okay.
put you
We'll
on
just
speaker.
jump right into it. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rivka, for inviting me. And I have to apologize publicly to Rivka because she asked me repeatedly for a topic for this year, and I never got back to her with a topic for this year. Part of that is that it's the hardest part of the job is finding a topic because I never know what I'm going to be excited about on the day that I'm giving the shiur. For example, if I was thinking about this in advance, I would have picked like a classic Hanukkah topic. But as we're we just lit the seven candles this evening. I think people are already looking a little bit beyond Hanukkah. Still thinking about Hanukkah, but maybe looking a little bit beyond Hanukkah. And I probably wouldn't have had that perspective at that time. So again, my apologies for that, but hopefully we'll say something meaningful. I just want to get clarity. I probably should have known this also. How long of a slot is this?
Till 9:30.
Till 9:30. Oh wow, that gives us plenty of time. Okay, so is there someone after me? No? Okay. So no penalty for finishing early if I do. Not that I'm saying I will, but no penalty if I do. Okay, fantastic. I really wanted to talk about a sort of a machshava topic, even though it starts with a halachic question, meaning it's a topic where there's a halachic question. There are many, many answers in halacha, but each of the answers in halacha reveals something deeper in machshava. And it's not really about Chanukah per se, but more about the aftermath of Chanukah, more about what we take from Chanukah going forward. And what I mean by that going forward is not just going forward each year, the days after Chanukah, But going forward historically, after the Hanukkah story was over, what did we take out of it? What happened with the Hanukkah story? So I would like to learn with you one Gemara, and again, I apologize, I do not have Mar Makomos here. I will tell you where it is, and if anyone is interested in looking it up, you're more than welcome to do so. I'm going to share with you one Gemara, one question on that Gemara, seven different answers. And in each answer, I think we're going to find some value. The Gemara reads as follows. The Gemara is darshening. The Gemara is in Maseches Yuma on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. Yuma Chav Tes Amud Aleph. And the Gemara darshens a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim. Lam Natzeach al Ayelas HaShachar. Amar Rabbi Asi, the Gemara says, Lama Nimshala Esther L'Shachar. Why is Esther compared to Shachar, compared to the early morning hours? So Lomar L'chatz, to tell you, Ma Shachar, Sof Kalalayla, just like the morning signifies the end of the night. When you have Alos HaShachar, you have those first rays of light in the morning. That's a signal that night has ended. Af Esther, Sof Kalanisim. So too, Esther is the end of all miracles. So you're going to tell me, wait a second, that's a Gemara about Purim. That's not a Gemara about Hanukkah. No, but the Gemara's next question is, Vaha'ika Hanukkah? What do you mean, Esther is the end of all miracles? Historically, what happened first? The story of Purim or the story of Hanukkah? Certainly, the story of Purim happened first. How can you say Esther was the last of the miracles? Vaha'ika Hanukkah? There is the Hanukkah miracle that happened afterwards. Answers the Gemara, and this is the cryptic phrase upon which we're going to focus everything tonight. Here it is. Nitna lichtov ka'amrinan. That we're not just talking about miracles, we're talking about those miracles that were meant to be written down. Esther was meant to be written down, even though the Gemara Megillah tells us that there was some tumult about that, there was some argument about that. Esther had said, Kisvuni Lidoros, I want to be written down for generations, and the Chachamim of the generation said, Kina Atma Oreres Aleinu Lebein Agoyim, you're going to cause great jealousy between the from the non-Jews if we write down this story. Meaning, after all, this is a story of Jewish victory, but every time there's a victory for one side, there's a loss for the other side. died. So we're going to celebrate, we're going to write a story that everyone's going to have, it's going to be part of the Bible for all times, that the Jewish people won, and the other side lost, and we're still in Galus after Megillas Esther. We can't do that. We're not able to celebrate a victory at the expense of others if that's going to mean that we're going to be that we're going to be taunting our enemies. And then finally Esther had the winning argument because she said, "Kvark suvani al dereyam, I'm already, my book is already written." The Gemara Megillah tells us, "My book is already written in their history books anyway. They read about me anyway, so we might as well tell it from our perspective." And therefore Megillas Esther was written. But it's not just the Gemara Numa is telling us, not just that Megillas Esther was written. The Gemara says it a little bit differently. Nitna lichtov ka'amrinan. That's the phrase. Megillas Esther was a book that ought to have been written, and it eventually was. And it was nitna lichtov. It should have been written. It was appropriate for it to be written. Whereas, apparently, the Nes Chanukah was lo nitna lichtov. It was not meant to be written. And the basic question that we're going to deal with tonight is, why not? Why can't the Chanukah story be written? What is it? What is there fundamentally about the Chanukah story that is not meant to be written? You know, Esther is not only a sefer in Tanakh. There's an entire Masechta in Shas about Purim, Maseches Megillah. There is no Masechta in Shas about Chanukah. There are a couple of dapim in the second parak of Maseches Shabbos because Shabbos happens to talk about Bame Madlikin uVame Ein Madlikin. What kinds of oils can we use for Neros Shabbos? And that relates very nicely to what kinds of oils to use for Neros Chanukah. So we sneak it in there. We sneak in my Chanukah and a little bit about the Chanukah story in Maseches Shabbos. It was not meant to be written in Torah Shebichsav, and apparently not even in Torah Shebal Peh in a very significant way. What is it about Chanukah that makes it lo nitna lichtov? This is the kasha that's asked by the Sefer Bina Li'itim Chelek Aleph Drush Beis Li'imei Chanukah, where he says, Yesh kan makumis orurus. This is something that should awaken us, that after Galus Bavel, shtayim heino karusenu misakonos atzumos, we had two events, two major events, that saved us from great sakana. And umishteya nitzilanu Hashem b'izuzov v'niflosav, and Hashem saved us from both of them with great miracles. Ha'echad b'imei Haman arasha, we had one in the days of Haman, ha'beiz b'imei Antiochus, and then the second one in the days of Antiochus, and he goes on to say, I'm skipping, he says, Ma nishtana zemiza, borrowing terminology from another yantif, Ma nishtana zemiza, why would one be different from the other? She'echad lo nitan li'kasev kamo ha'acher, that one is meant to be written down and the other one's not, ad she'omerlov shu sof kol hanisim, not only that, you're going to say, this is sof kol hanisim, Esther is the end of all miracles? That's just an insult to Chanukah. It's one thing if the Gemara wants to say, okay, the Chanukah story, it shouldn't be written down. But to say that Esther is Sof Kol HaNisim, it's the end of all miracles? Chanukah happened afterwards. Now, mind you, neither of these are chagim in the classical sense, in the biblical sense of a chag. I saw on Twitter today, Rabbi Josh Greijauer tweeted that Rav Chaim Ilson was at the airport once, and the El Al security person was asking questions, as they always do. They ask basic Jewish knowledge questions to make sure you're not a terrorist dressed as a Jew, like the last few, what was the Parshas HaShavua this week? I don't know if there are any girls that any young women here that when they were girls attended SKA, but I remember there was one SKA girl that was flying to Israel and the El Al security person said, where did you go to high school? And she said, SKA. And the El Al security person said, oh yeah, who is Richie Hagler? And who happens to be the executive director of HALB, but that's pretty good. These people know their stuff, these security people. I called up Richie, I told him that story. He said, I know, that's whatever. He knew the guy's name right away. He knew exactly who it was that said that. But the point is, the story was that someone asked Rav Chaim Ilson, it was like right before Chanukah, and they said to Rav Chaim Ilson's one of the great Talmidim of Rav Salvechik, probably, we don't like to rank people, but we will anyway, probably one of the top five Talmidim, or top three even, of Rav Salvechik. There's Rav Lichtenstein, there's Rav Schechter, and then, you're hard-pressed to find someone who's a greater Talmud than Rav Chaim Ilson once you're in that territory. So Rav Chaim Ilson was waiting to get on the plane just before Chanukah, and the security guard said, what is the next Chag? So he said, Pesach. So the security person said, "It's Hanukkah next week. Why didn't you say Hanukkah?" So he said, "Hanukkah's not a chag. A chag means that there's a korban chagiga. There's no korban chagiga on Hanukkah." So he gave her a little shir klali. That's a very brisker kind of answer. Okay, so Hanukkah's not a chag, but Hanukkah is as much of a chag as Purim is. So why is it that Esther is sov kol nisim? Esther is the end of nisim, and Hanukkah's not. Hanukkah's not even nitna lichtov. It's not even meant to be written down. So as I said, we're going to go through seven answers, and I think there's a lesson from each answer. Answer number one, many of these answers are offered by that very same Sefer Bina Le'itim, and they're all quoted in the Sefer Yerach Lemoadim, Maimer Yud Ches, from Rav Yerucham Olshin, one of the outstanding Rosh HaYeshiva of Beis Medrash Kavala in Lakewood. So Rav Yerucham Olshin in his Yerach Lemoadim on Chanukah, Maimer Yud Ches, quotes the Sefer Bina Le'itim, who gives answer number one. Answer number one, he says, is ki hanes kol asher yia yoter klali yechuyav yoter hapirsum, that which is a more general miracle requires greater publicity and requires us to remember it more. Nes Chanukah, as great as it was, was not all that inclusive. It didn't happen to that many people. There weren't that many people that were in danger. It was only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it wasn't a Nes Klali. It was a local Nes that happened in Israel. But the Nes of Esther included Mehodivat Kush, it included all of Jewry throughout the world. Achashverosh, the Gemara tells us that Mesechs Gittin and Mesechs Megillah also, I think, that Achashverosh and Shlomo, that there were very few people that ruled over the entire world. And Achashverosh was one of those people. So it involved Jews everywhere. And it was a gzera klalit lahashmid laharog la'abed eskola yehudim minar v'yad zaken. There was no one that was going to be spared from that gzera. And therefore the Hatzalah of Purim was a massive Hatzalah for everybody. And that's why we have to have a major zikaron for that nes, and that major zikaron comes in the form of an entire book in Tanakh, of Megillas Esther. We don't have such a major zikaron for Hanukkah because it was only for the few, it was not for the many. Now, that itself, as an answer, is interesting in the sense that we always look at Klal Yisrael differently than we look at particular individuals within Klal Yisrael. Meaning, for example, we know that we have no guarantees in life. If there's one thing we've learned over the last, since March, we know that we don't know what tomorrow brings. We have no guarantees in life. Things can change on a dime. Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin, right? Things can change for the better very, very quickly as well. I don't know about you. I was crying when I was watching the first footage of people getting vaccines in England, to see that this might be how the Ribbono Shel Olam is bringing a Yeshua, or at least a major, major step toward Yeshua. We have no guarantees in life about how things are going to work out individually. But one thing we do know, as a klal, as a tzibur, we do have guarantees. We know that Klal Yisrael is always going to survive. That no matter what happens, no matter who comes, Klal Yisrael will always be there. We know that Klal Yisrael as a whole will do tshuva in the end of days, because that's the only way to bring Mashiach. Rav Salvechik in Ala Tshuva, Rav Salvechik writes that part of the Ikar Ha'emunah that a Jew has to have, a Jew has to believe in Mashiach. We have to believe that there's going to be a Mashiach. We don't talk about Mashiach enough, maybe because for whatever reasons we don't emphasize enough. But this is one of the Ikar Ha'emunah. I serve on a Beis Din for Giyur from time to time, where we help people along in the conversion process. And one of the things we ask, and we must ask, is explain to us the concept of Messiah. What do you believe about a Messiah? And they have to know and believe that there's such a thing called the Mashiach. And Rav Salvechik pointed out, part of believing in Mashiach is believing in the Jewish people, believing that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, because that's the only way he comes, when Klal Yisrael does tshuva. So if Geula is only going to happen, the Rambam writes, there's going to be a massive tshuva movement first. If that's the way Geula is going to happen, that's part of that belief. But do you have to believe a particular individual is going to do tshuva? You don't have to believe that. I mean, we believe everybody can, but we know not everybody does. Not everybody turns things around. We always look at Klal Yisrael different than we look at individuals. So I understand. Nes Purim was for everybody. Nes Chanukah, for a community. And therefore, Nes Purim is Nitna Likasev. The problem with this explanation is that it really seems to minimize the value of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. That although there is such a concept that an individual community, you know, there's a concept of individual communities having a Sudas Hoda'a, making their own Yom Tov that's only for their community, if they were spared a particular threat, if there was a particular salvation that they experienced and the rest of the Jewish people did not. But when something happens in Eretz Yisrael, and particularly when something happens to threaten the Beis HaMikdash, that is not just for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Klal Yisrael matter. That is a representative of all of the Jewish people, and that's where all of our tefillos work through the Makom HaMikdash. The Ashras HaShechina works from the Makom HaMikdash. So that is not, it's hard to accept this first approach of the Bina Le'itim, because it's very hard to accept that it's that something that threatens the existence of the Mikdash is going to be considered a local matter and not a Klal Yisrael matter. So let's move on to answer number two. Answer number two says the Bina Le'itim, that the Tzaros of Antiochus was Bizman Heyos Yisrael Be'eretz HaKadosha U'Bizman Heyos Beis HaMikdash Kayam. It's when the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael and we had a Beis HaMikdash. And he writes, Asher B'li Safek Zuchus HaMakomos HaHem U'Kedush Osam Siyua Gadol LaHakel Me'aleim HaSakana V'Ligrom HaVa'asanes. Unbelievable. He says, you know what? Chanukah was not as great a miracle as Purim, and here's why. I can explain to you why Hashem brought a Chanukah miracle. Because there was a zechus that we had in the days of Chanukah that we simply did not have in the days of Purim, and that is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. As long as Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, that is an enormous merit that is going to that is so great that it can explain a miracle. Ki tamid einei Hashem Elokeinu ba, that we believe that Eretz Yisrael is constantly under the watchful eye of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. But to whatever extent we're able to understand it, Hashem is ki'ilu kavayachal, he's paying more attention to what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, and says the Bina Le'itim, V'ein kol kach mehatema yasa Hashem oz niflaos. It's not so strange that Hashem would do miracles, would perform miracles under such circumstances. But b'yimei HaChashverosh, where we were mefuzarim umufuradim, ana va'ana, here and there, rubam b'chutz la'aretz, all over the place, and it was a bizman churban ha-mikdash. There was no one walking through the mikdash. There was no one making pilgrimages to the Beis HaMikdash. So for Hashem to perform a miracle under such circumstances, that's unbelievable. That's worthy of celebration, because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu stepping much further out for us. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is going to do miracles for us when we have such zechuyos like Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash that's functional. And in fact, the Gra in Megillas Esther essentially says the same thing. The Gra in the very first parak of Megillas Esther tells us that in Neis Be'eretz Yisrael, Ein Kol Kach Chidush. That it's not such a chidush to have nisim happen in Eretz Yisrael. You ever talk to like a real Eretz Yisrael Dika Jew, to a real a person who's like a real sabra, a person who's been there entire life? It's ki'ilu they're living in a different reality sometimes. Like the pragmatism of an American Jew is something that is almost lost on many Israeli Jews. Like they ki'ilu they don't understand. I remember talking to an uncle of mine who made aliyah like right after he and my aunt got married. They made aliyah and they moved to Rehovot and they lived there till my aunt's patira. My uncle still lives there. And I remember asking him when I was in yeshiva and when I was in Keren B'Yavna, so I used to go there for Shabbos all the time. We were very, very close. So I went for Shabbos all the time. And naturally, when you're in Israel, you always start thinking about, okay, this is where I belong. This is where the Jewish people belong. And you start thinking about, how can I make this happen? How can this work? So I asked him, like, how does it work parnasa-wise? You know, like when you're here, like, you know, what would be a plan for me in terms of making it work as far as parnasa is concerned? And he said, "Oh, I have a very simple mahalik." He said, If I make $100, yeah, you're following? I said, yeah. I said, I'm following so far. You make $100. He goes, yeah. He goes, then I spend 150, yeah, and then I save the rest. Okay, that was his math. He makes 100, spends 150, saves the rest. The idea that people who live in Israel just seem to live lemala miderech hateva in many different ways in the whole frame of mind, the whole way of thinking, but the way of thinking is influenced by the reality. The idea that there's going to be a nes in Eretz Yisrael, says the Vilna Gaon, ain kol kach chidush. It's not a chidush that there's going to be a nes in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Hanukkah is not such a great miracle because it's Israel. Of course, there are miracles in Israel. That's what happens in Eretz Yisrael. But Purim, that's a miracle, because since when do miracles happen outside of Eretz Yisrael? That's what the Gra says, and that in fact is what the Bina Le'itim gives as his second answer. Such an important idea, in the sense that we always have to remember that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. But we know that although the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, there is a certain special Hashkachas Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, that there's a certain special attention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays to those who are dwelling in the palace, to those who are living directly under his watchful eye. And then we have a third approach, also suggested by the Bina Le'itim. And the third approach, again, the question was, why is it that that the Gemara refers to Purim as the last of all the miracles, Sof Kalanisim, because it was Nitna Lichtov, whereas the Nes Chanukah was not Nitna Lichtov, was not meant to be written down. And the Bina Le'itim explains, because in the times of Antiochus, the Gezeros and the Sakana was about something that was Nogea HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It was relevant to Hashem himself. What were they trying to do? They were trying to take us away from Shmiras HaMitzvos, from observing the most critical and fundamental mitzvos, the mitzvos that identify us as Jews, that really relate to our very identity. The Sakanas HaGufos, the fact that we were physically threatened, that was secondary. And that's why it makes sense that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stand up, not for us, for himself. The threat was against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't against us. So if you're starting up with Hashem, Hashem's going to fight back. And therefore it's natural, it sounds a little ironic, natural that a miracle would happen. Even though a miracle means the opposite of nature, it's natural that a miracle would happen. You pick a fight with Hashem, Hashem's going to fight right back. But in Purim, the threat was against our bodies. The threat was against our physical existence. And that was a threat against us. That's not a threat. That's not a direct battle with Hashem. They didn't see it as a battle with Hashem. They saw it as a battle with us. So they were picking a fight with us. And therefore, for us to win and Hashem to get involved, is Hashem jumping to our defense. That's very different than Hashem coming to his own defense, so to speak. And that is answer number three as to why it is that Purim is Sof Kalanisim, because Purim is this miracle where Hashem didn't have to get involved because it wasn't about him. It was about Klal Yisrael. But because of his great love for Klal Yisrael, he got involved anyway. Answer number four. And this is probably, well, each of the answers have their own value, but this is, from a Hashkafic perspective, is so critical. Says the Bina Le'itim still, answer number four. He says, the idea, it's not about the threat. Think about how the miracle happened. Think about what the miracle was. What exactly was the miracle of Hanukkah? The miracle of Hanukkah involved a weak group of, let's call them yeshiva bachrim, not entirely accurate, but a weak group of people that were fighting a much stronger group of people, a much larger group of people, and they won the war. Right? We say it in the Al HaNisim, that it's Rabim b'yad ma'atim, and Tmeim b'yad ta'orim, and Giborim b'yad chlashim. It was a weaker, battered group of people defeating a stronger army. Find a generation where that hasn't happened in some way or another. Meaning, hold up the Hanukkah miracle against, I don't know, 1967. Which one is a greater miracle? I don't know. I don't know exactly what these armies were, but it's hard to imagine this was a greater miracle than 1967. There are miracles that happen every generation where an underdog wins. You know, for those who are fans of professional sports, I mean, that's what makes it exciting. that sometimes you can't predict how things are going to turn out. Is that a miracle in the conventional sense? Even the nace of the Pach Shemen. I don't know if you guys saw the story. Maybe you were busy learning while I was yutzing around on Twitter or whatever. But the story that someone just sent me this evening was that they discovered when they got a shipment of the vaccine from somewhere in Chicago, I think it was. They got their shipment of tens of thousands of doses, and they thought that in each vial there would be 5 doses of the vaccine, and they found that they were able to make 6 doses from each vial. Which means that they now have 20% more people are going to be able to get vaccinated than they thought they'd be able to vaccinate. I mean, that's the Hanukkah miracle, right? That's the Pach Shemen. That the Pach Shemen that was only supposed to be enough for 5 people now. So, okay, in ratio, the nes of the Pach Shemen was greater. But, you know, that's pretty much the Pach Shemen. I often tell my Talmidim, I was zocheh to a Hanukkah miracle once. I drive a Toyota Corolla, and I once brought it to the mechanic, and the mechanic said, you need a new battery. I said, okay, I guess I need a new battery. I don't know anything about cars. He said, but it's pretty impressive because this is a pretty old car and this is the original battery. This battery should have died a couple of years ago and it's still going. I said, right away, I thought, oh my gosh, I just had the Hanukkah miracle. It was only supposed to have so much juice and it had more. It kept on going. It kept on burning for so much longer than it should have. It was it miraculous? I don't know. I leave that for you to decide. But certainly it's not like a kind of miracle that you make a yontif out of. These kinds of things happen. So what is it about the Hanukkah miracle? It was great. It was very important. It was needed. And from the perspective of this answer, it was needed maybe just as much as the Purim miracle was needed, maybe even more. But how was it done? It was done within the realm of Teva, almost. Whereas, when it came to the Purim miracle, which we always highlight as being a miracle that happened completely b'derech HaTeva, it was actually completely against derech HaTeva, in one important way. When the Ribbono Shel Olam decided how this world is going to run, and the Ribbono Shel Olam created man and woman, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us something that that is our key ingredient to earning Olam Haba. It's our key ingredient to being accomplished people, to having meaning in our lives. And the Rambam writes about this extensively, and that is the ingredient called Bechira Chafshis, that we have the right to make a choice. We have the right to choose good or evil. We have the right to do mitzvos or averos. Not the right. Right is not the right word. We have the ability to choose one way or the other. Look what happened in the Purim miracle. You know, everything, if you read the Megillah, Achashverosh sounds like a little bit of an idiot, but not really such a bad guy. Meaning he sounds somewhat foolish, but he doesn't sound evil. You look at the way Chazal speak about Achashverosh, the Gemara Megillah tells us that it's like two people, one of them has a giant pile of dirt in his yard that he can't get rid of, and the other one's got this huge ditch in his yard that he just needs it filled in, and they're complaining to each other in the back of Shul one day during Chazaras Hashatz, and one of them is saying, I got this giant pile of dirt, I don't know what to do with it, and the other one's saying, I got this this ditch in my yard. Oh, look at that. We're a perfect match. You could take my dirt. It will fill up your ditch. We'll both have even ground. Everyone will be happy. That was Haman and Achashverosh, says the Gemara in Maseches Megillah. Haman and Achashverosh were a match made in heaven. They both wanted to accomplish the destruction of the Jewish people. And yet what happens? One young woman tells Achashverosh, you know what? Let's turn it all on its head. Take your partner in crime and let's go after him and let's save the Jewish people. And just like that, Achashverosh responds. And Achashverosh listens. He lost his Bechira Chafshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away his Ratzon to do what he wanted to do. Because Esther suggested otherwise. That, the removal of a person's Bechira, is the most miraculous thing ever. That really goes against the way the Ribbono Shel Olam intends to run his world. And such a powerful lesson in this answer, that the miracle is so great on Purim, and it's Sof Kol HaNisim, because it's something that Hashem never really does. You know, the 2 times he did it, we have huge holidays about it. He did it to Paro, and he did it to Achashverosh. And that's it. And now we have huge holidays about it. But in the Hanukkah story, it was just about an underdog winning. And an underdog winning happens all the time. The problem with all 4 of these approaches, is that it still doesn't explain what fundamentally about the Nes Chanukah makes it unwritable. Is that a word? Makes it something that should not be written, that ought not be written. I understand. Some of these answers are downplaying the nace of Hanukkah, or downplaying the threat that we faced at Hanukkah, or downplaying how surprising it was that Hashem got involved in the nace of Hanukkah. Great, but it was a great miracle. We were threatened. Okay, so it's not Purim. It's not quite like Purim. Does that mean that fundamentally it's lo nitzna lichtov? It should not be written just because it's not Purim? And also, how do you decide what's a big miracle and what's a small miracle and which ones count toward making a holiday? How do you figure that one out? How do you figure out which ones count toward getting a book in Tanakh and which ones don't? What's the calculus on that? And therefore, we move to a couple of other answers. Answer number 5. This is suggested by the great Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in his Sefer Ya'aros Tavash's Drosha Sefer in Drush Ches. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz quotes a medrash that darshens a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Tichtov zos l'dor acharon v'am nivra yahalel ka," that there will be something that is written down for later generations, and there is a nation that is created to praise Hashem. What are those two halves of the statement? Says the Medrash, Asidim Yisrael lasos tshuva v'yihiyu bria chadasha. That when the Jewish people do tshuva, then there will be a bria chadasha. We will become a new people, and that is worthy of being written down. Meaning, what was the days? There was nothing beyond the teva. If a small amount of people defeat a greater amount of people. The real nace of Hanukkah, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, was not that the Pach Shemen lit. It was not that the smaller army defeated the larger army. The real nace of Hanukkah is that we won even though we didn't do tshuva. We didn't do tshuva. Meaning the whole story of Hanukkah was really a story of the failure of the Jewish people. The people who won, the people who were the Hasidim with Matisyahu and Ubanav, they weren't the sinners. They never had sinned before. And the vast majority of the Jewish people, who were the Misyavnim, who bought into everything that Yavan offered, they didn't fight the battle. That's why it was Rabban Biad Ma'atim. As Rav Aaron Kahn once pointed out, Rabban Biad Ma'atim doesn't just mean for every Jew that was fighting there were 10 non-Jews. It means for every Jew who believed there were 100 Jews who didn't believe. The Ma'atim were tzaddikim the whole time. The Rabbim were not tzaddikim. And when the story was over, the Rabbim were still not tzaddikim. There was no tshuva that was done. And that is the greatest miracle. That Hanukkah is not a lesser miracle. It was not nitnali kasev because it went so against everything Hashem tells us in Chumash and in the rest of Nevi'im. Summarize all of Navi, in a sentence or two. It's that the Jewish people sin. The Navi comes and says you have to do tshuva. Certainly say for Shoftim, let's say. The Shofit says you have to come and do tshuva. We do tshuva. And then we're saved. We're saved after we do tshuva. If we don't do tshuva, we don't get saved. That's supposed to be the story. That's supposed to be the story of Jewish history. That we have to do the tshuva. Lo nitna likasev. If Hashem is going to go out of his way and perform a miracle for us, even when we don't do tshuva, that shouldn't be written into Tanakh. That goes against the entire theme of Tanakh. It's uncomfortable for Hashem to write something like that down, says Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz. So why did he do it? If we didn't do tshuva, why did Hashem go against his better judgment, so to speak? And apparently the answer is, because he loves us. This is the miracle that Hashem did for us, because he loves us. Even when we don't behave, he loves us. There was a big debate in the Jewish magazines a couple of years ago. Does Hashem love us even when we sin? Or does Hashem not love us even when we sin? I think the answer is obvious. Hashem doesn't love our sins. And it's not okay to sin, right? I think we could all agree to that. But Hashem loves us. Hashem only wants to see us succeed. And he doesn't want to see us destroyed. Even as we're digging our own graves, even as we're digging ourselves deeper and deeper into a hole, Hashem doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to succeed. And he can't bear to watch us suffer. And therefore, it's lo nitan lekasev. The pasuk in Mishlei, kvod Elokim haster davar, that sometimes the greatest honor to God is to hide things, because it's something that goes against the whole theme of Tanakh. But even this answer, lo nitna li kasev, sounds like it's not shayach to write it down. Not just that it's not nice to write it down. It sounds like it's something that couldn't be written down. And this brings us to our final two answers, and ultimately the combination between the final two answers. I guess when I forgot what number we're up to. I think we're up to number six, maybe, at this point. So I said, yeah, we had the first four, we rejected the first one, and then five. Okay, I think we're up to number six now. Answer number six. The Ben Yehoyada, in his commentary to Maseches Yuma, on that Gemara, he asks, I don't understand. Vayika Chanaka, the Gemara says, Nitna li kasev ka'amina. So the Ben Yehoyada quotes a Chida. The Chida was one of the most prolific authors. He wrote on everything, and he wrote multiple svarim on everything, all by different names. He was very creative also. Sometimes the hardest part of writing svarim is coming up with a new name. It's like coming up with a title for a shir. It's very, very hard. So Ben Yehoyada came up with all sorts of different names. The Chida, rather. With all sorts of different names. So the Chida writes in Dvarim Achadim that this exact kasha, why is Chanukah lo nitna likasev? And he says, v'nir li b'siyata d'shmaya, de'ein zu kushya. It's not a question at all. Ki b'zman Esther hayubali ruach hakodesh shem shniim l'nevi. He says, take a step back. What does it mean that Esther was written? That someone wrote a book about her? That you can find a nice novel about the story of Esther? That's not what it means. Esther was written means that it made it into Tanakh. What are the qualifications to make it into Tanakh? What are the qualifications? It happens to be a fascinating discussion in its own right, how they decided what makes it. There were books that were on the on the edge and had to be decided. But what are the qualifications in the end of the day to make it in Tanakh? Why are Ksuvim Kodesh? Why do they have holiness to them? Stam, because we declared them that they're canonized and therefore they're Kodesh? What makes Ksuvim Ksuvim is that they were written Beruach HaKodesh. The Gemara Megillah tells us Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says, Minayin, how do I know that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh? It has like seven different answers of how we know Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. It describes what people thought, right? It describes what was going on in people's heads. How do you know what's going on in a person's head unless you're either that person or you have Ruach HaKodesh? You can't say Vayomar Haman Belibo if Haman wasn't involved in the writing of the Sefer. So how could we know what Haman was saying in his heart? He kept a diary and said, oh, and I was thinking, no. It had to have been written Beruach HaKodesh. I was reading recently in a Sefer, Halicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it was discussing, there's a bracha that one recites when you see a Gadol B'Torah. There's a bracha, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, Paskin Shulchan Aruch, that if you see a Gadol B'Torah for the first time in a long time, you say, Shechalak Mechach Maso Li'Reyav. That you say a bracha in such a person. In general, when you see impressive sights, you're supposed to say a bracha. They're birchas haroa. So there's a bracha if you see a chachame chachme umas ha'olam, that you see a Nobel Prize winner or something like that. You also say a bracha. That was the great shaila. What does Dr. Alman get? Right, meaning he's a Jewish chacham. But his greatest achievement in Chachma, at least as is recognized by the world, is his Nobel Prize. Right? It's not the fact that he also happens to be a Talmud Chacham. And as a Talmud Chacham, right, he's not Rav Shechter, he's not Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he's not the kind of person you would say a bracha on as a Chacham. But so, which bracha do you say, or if any, do you not say any bracha? Is that a bracha reserved only for non-Jews? But anyway, there is a bracha that one recites on great gedolim. So I saw in Halicha Shlomo, they tell a story that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was discussing the issue of whether there could be such a thing as lifnei iver for midos. Meaning, you're not allowed to cause someone to do an avera. What if I cause someone to be a balgaiva? I cause someone to be arrogant. How do I cause them to be arrogant? I just compliment them nonstop. I tell them how great they are all the time. All I do is I tell them how great they are. Right, my daughter knows she will never hear a negative word from me. It's just the way it is. We have four boys and we had a girl, so that's it. That was a decision that was made very early on. She will never hear anything negative. When she wants an honest opinion, she goes to my wife. She will never, never, ever hear a negative word out of my mouth. And so is that lifnei iver, that I'm going to cause her to be a balgaiva because I'm constantly. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, how are we ever allowed to say this bracha? You can say a bracha on someone who has to be like the Gadol Ador to say the bracha on. So the person's going to walk in, you're going to recite this bracha. Isn't that lifnei iver to make them balgaiva? That they're going to say, oh, I'm the Gadol Ador. Rav Shachter told us that he used to say this bracha at the beginning of the Zman, after every summer, if he hadn't seen Rav Soloveitchik in a few months, first day of Shir, every year he said the bracha. I was once sitting next to Rav Meir Tversky at a wedding, and I told him that Rav Shachter said that. Rav Tversky was shocked. He said, if the Rav would have ever heard him say that bracha, he would have killed him. The Rav would have not been happy at all about that. But let's say you say it loud enough, and the person's able to hear it. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that it's not lifnei verag midos, because Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I know of a person that when he walked into a room, people stood up and said this bracha, and it just hurt him inside so much, it pained him that people were making such a terrible mistake to think that he's worthy of such a bracha. It didn't cause him any gaiva whatsoever. And I know this for a fact, that this happened to a person that I know. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's grandchildren wrote the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. They said, obviously, unless he's a Navi, he was talking about himself, right? How does he know what hurts another person inside? Obviously, the story was about himself. Meaning, if you're describing what someone is thinking, it can only be that you're either a Navi, or you're writing Baruch HaKodesh, or you're being autobiographical. So Esther was Baruch HaKodesh. Esther was eligible to be written because it was written Baruch HaKodesh. By the time the Hanukkah story happened, there weren't any Bali Ruach HaKodesh left. It's not something fundamental to the Nes, that this miracle doesn't lend itself to be written. It's not something about Hashem's involvement in the Nes, how expected or unexpected it was, how great a miracle or not so great a miracle it was. No, it's just that we didn't have the wherewithal to be able to write it. We just couldn't, we didn't have the skills. When you read a Sefer Tanakh, you don't just read the book and say, oh, okay, what the story says, that's what happened. You study it, and there are 18 different pshatim on every pasuk in how to analyze the parsha, how to analyze what you're being told. And you know what? All 18 are true, and it's more than 18. Shivim panim laTorah. And they're all true. Because that happens when a book is written with Ruach HaKodesh. But if a book is not written with Ruach HaKodesh, you can't have that. It's just not eligible to be part of Tanakh. And that's what Likasev says the Ben Yoyada in the name of the Chida. Which brings us to our final answer, and then we'll connect the two, the last two. Rav Shlomo Kluger, also a very prolific author, in his Yirios Shlomo, explains that the reason Nes Chanukah is different than all other miracles is that all other miracles, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made a Tanai B'maisa Bereshis, that this miracle was supposed to happen. It was built into Teva, from the time of the creation of the world, that this miracle, right, the Gemara tells us that the Pi HaAson, the Mishnah says, that the Pi, Mishnah Novos, that the Pi HaAson, the mouth of the donkey that spoke to Bilam, was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. Like, in the Shesh Simei HaMaaseh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in all of these miracles. The pasuk says, when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayashav Hayam Lifnos Boker Leisano, and says the Medrash in Bereish Rabba Leisano Litanao Harishon, it went back to its strength. It means to the original condition. What does it mean to the original condition? Shetanai hisna kodesh baruch hu b'maisa bereshis. Sheyikra hayam lifnehem. When Hashem created the world, he looked into the future. And he said, okay, there's going to be a time at exactly this moment, on this day, seventh day of Pesach, the Jewish people are going to show up and they're going to need the sea to split. And it was decided then, in the Shesh Simei HaMaaseh, that the sea was going to split at that moment. And then the plan came together. It happened. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. And then it went back. Meaning, in a certain sense, the miracle is not so miraculous. It's no more, in general, miracles are no more miraculous than Teva, than nature. It's just that nature is the Tanai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in to run on a more consistent basis. And miracles are that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and this is a famous Ramban al Torah, but miracles are that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to happen on a once in a while basis. Not once in a while, but at specific moments. Masha'ein Kain, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, Nes Chanukah. Haya Nes Mechudash B'Seder HaBriya. Nes Chanukah was not planned from the time of Briyas HaOlam. It was Kahayom Hazeh that Nes Chanukah happened. That we were Zocha to Nes Gadol, because of the Mesirus Nefesh for Kedushas Hashem, that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to literally go outside of the Sidrei HaTeva, which is unlike any other Nes. And that's why it's Lo Nitan Lichtov, because Miderech HaTeva, people generally will write down and keep a record of that which they want to publicize. All of the miracles that happen down here that seem to be outside of the world of Teva, Lamaila, they're Kederech HaTeva. Up there, it all looks natural, because it was all part of the plan. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mispa'er Bo. He takes pride in such miracles. But Chanukah, since it's a Nes, even Lamaila, it's totally Shalom Kederech HaTeva, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore, does not want to be Mispa'er Bo. Says Rav Yeruch Malshin, the Rashiva, great Rashiva of Lakewood, that perhaps answers number 6 and 7 fit together seamlessly. What was answer number 6 again? The Chida had said that because there was no one around with Ruach HaKodesh in the times of Chanukah, they were unable to put it into Tanakh. They couldn't make a book. They're not making books for Tanakh anymore. We're already past that point. Answer number 7 was, Rav Shlomo Kluger, that this is a miracle that wasn't planned from the beginning. Says Rav Yeruch Malshin so brilliantly. He points out, Rav Gedalia Shor, in his Or Gedalyahu on Chanukah, explains that we know the Zohar HaKadosh writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a stakel ba'oraisa ubara alma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and created the world. That the Torah is, you know, as we call it, the blueprint of the world. And anything that happens in the Bria was part of that blueprint originally. And therefore, all miracles that ever happened are there. They happened because in the Torah, that miracle was already written. And therefore, the Nisim are part of the Seder HaBria. And therefore, he says, if all Nisim are hinted to in the Torah, because it's part of the Seder HaBria, and there are some Nisim that are not hinted to in the Torah because they are not part of the Seder HaBria, they weren't planned to happen from Shesh Simei Masa, they couldn't be part of Istakel Baraiso Bar Alma. If they weren't meant to be in the Torah, then they couldn't be in the blueprint. And they couldn't be planned from Shesh Simei Masa. Everything that happens later in history had to be built into Shesh Simei Masa, but Shesh Simei Masa comes from the Torah. Why is it that Nes Chanukah couldn't be written down? Because it wasn't part of the Bria. It wasn't part of the original plan of Nisim, and therefore it wasn't in the Torah. So it's not part of the Seder, of the Etzem HaBriya, and therefore it's not part of Istakel Baraisa or Bara Alma. The two answers work perfectly together, says Rav Yerucham Olshin, that because we couldn't write it down, it's not part of Torah. And because it's not part of Torah, it couldn't be a Nes that was supposed to happen. It had to be a Nes that wasn't supposed to happen. Every Nes that was supposed to happen is built into the Torah. Which is a comment, really, just to how powerful the Torah is. You know, the Torah is not only a valuable set of books that teach us how to live, books of law, books of morality, books of ethics. It is all of that. It's all of that. But it's not only that. The Torah is a Das Elyon. The Torah is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thinking. The Torah is a way that we can connect to Hashem, which normally a human being should not be able to connect to Hashem. You know, the Levush writes that on Motzai Shabbos, we say, Atachonin Ladam Das, and then Atachonatan Lamad Torah Secha. Well, we just said Atachonin Ladam Das. Isn't it repetitive to say, Hashem, you give us Das, Hashem, you give us Lamad Torah Secha? What's the difference? And the Levush says that there is a lot of great knowledge out there. There's a lot of important knowledge out there. And you know, it's rigorous sometimes to amass knowledge. You have to put yourself through some challenging long hours to try to become an expert in various areas. And that's open to all of humanity. To understand the sciences, to study the sciences and mathematics and everything else. It's open to all literature and history. It's open to all of humanity. And Atachon in Ladam Das. Hashem gives us Das. But Atachon in Tanul Madat HaResecha. the fact that we're able to connect to Hashem's das, the fact that we're able to connect to Hashem's way of thinking, that's on an entirely different level. That's entirely unnatural. That's what Salvation explained. That's why the Gemara Nida Daf Amud Aleph tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that each of us, when we're in the womb, we learn the entirety of Torah, and then we forget it on the way out. The Malach smacks us on the face, and we forget it on the way out. Rav Soloveitchik famously explained, but this is based on the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya explains this way, that and really this appears from the Gra as well, from the Vilna Gaon, quoted by Marav Ranchberg, Rabbi Tzal Ranchberg in Maseches Nida, that we would not be able to understand Torah if not for the fact that we were primed for it in advance. It's not like any other area of study. It's a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And without being primed for it in advance, without being that gene being placed in us through that malach in the womb, we would never be able to understand it. How do you explain a book that predicts all of the future of human history, that is the source for every miracle that will happen afterwards? There's no logical explanation for such a thing. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And maybe if this last Mahalich is correct, what we're celebrating on Chanukah is what Chanukah represents by what it's not. Because Chanukah has to be this miracle that's entirely different than every other miracle on account of the fact that it's not in the Sifrei Tanakh and therefore cannot be built in, that's a reflection to us of just what it means to be part of Torah. And just how impactful everything that is part of Torah is, that this is the lone exception. Everything else had to be built into the Torah. So therefore it's a time in these long nights of winter to contemplate what our relationship is to Torah and to improve in our relationship with Torah. To always think about how I can improve on my relationship to Torah, to take it more seriously, to learn it more thoroughly, to make sure that it becomes a part of my daily life. You know, I just had the opportunity a couple of days ago to speak to the Shana Bet Talmidot at MMY. One of the things I mentioned to them is that, you know, sometimes you have all these dreams and all these plans of, you know, what life is going to be like when you're living in an environment where just going with the flow lands you with more Torah, more learning, more opportunities to grow. And there are many, many opportunities to grow and many opportunities to learn, you know, after that. But you have to find them. Meaning, no one tells you that you have to, that you must take this class or that class, or that you must push yourself, or that you must, you know, everyone knows, in every school, there are the easy classes to take, there are things where you don't really have to learn anything, and, you know, in areas where maybe you're not that interested, okay, but in Torah, we have to seek it out, we have to push ourselves, and the more connected we are to Torah, the more connected we are with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I wish you all tremendous hatzlacha. Thank you all for, I mean, this obviously says a lot that you came out to learn tonight I didn't realize that I was speaking after Nechama. I probably would not have agreed to do that. It's a little scary, but you came out to learn tonight, and you should always come out to learn on a consistent basis and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah. And I wish everyone an enjoyable last couple of days of Chanukah.